It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. This is Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And thanks for joining me this morning. I hope you'll enjoy the show. I'm going to start off today with a subject that some of you may vigorously, vehemently disagree with me on, and many of you will probably stand up and applaud. But if you're driving your car, don't stand up and applaud. We've arrived at spring, the time of the year for the rebirth for most game and bird species in North America. It's the time that they breed. And as we arrive at spring of 2016, and we look at the songbirds, last week I talked about a robin that's returned now for six straight years to nest in the same place in our yard, and which has also taken up residence on the side window of my car every morning. It's there, and every morning I have to clear it off, clean it off. I wanted to talk for a moment about what is probably the most inhospitable environment we could possibly have created for the hundreds of millions of songbirds, ducks, geese, cranes, ground nesting birds, quail, pheasants, turkeys, grouse. We in America, North America, but this morning I'm going to focus more just on America, have created an absolutely awful landscape in which birds are to try to reproduce. And we have created it through the introduction of species that did not exist, predator species, and we have created it through our transportation systems and the settlement of America in enabling species to move from one part of the continent to parts where they were never native. So we have a situation where birds, all species of birds, have to adapt to a landscape that not only has a lot less habitat, that's obvious, just looking around, driving out the window, sitting on the expressway, you know that's not bird nesting habitat. But we have changed the predator community of this habitat absolutely to the point where we are at a situation with many species of birds that predators are outweighing the potential of bird populations to reproduce. And this week in the Chicago Tribune, there was a lead article, which I'm going to start off on and then follow up on the subject of feral cats enlisted in urban rat battle. For many years, I've talked on this show with experts about the situation of feral cats and how feral cats are just killing machines for bird life. This week in the Tribune, the article dealt with how feral cats are being reintroduced as cat colonies in the city of Chicago to help control rat populations, and how wonderful it was that we are reducing the rat population in the city of Chicago through the introduction of thousands of feral cats who eat the rats. No mention, or very little mention at least, of what else they eat. The Treehouse Humane Society created the Cats at Work program several years ago after organizations feral cats cleared out a Cicero business's rat problem. Now there are 500 feral cats in the program, and there's a waiting list of 2 to 4 weeks. So what's happening in the city of Chicago, and if you're listening elsewhere in the country, your cities have the same situations. You may not have this feral cat release program, but what's happening in the city of Chicago is apparently we have an explosion of rat population. And why do we have an explosion in the rat population? Because people aren't throwing away their garbage, or maybe their garbage isn't being picked up the way it once was. Rats can only survive if there's food. And obviously millions of humans are providing plenty of food. So the rat population is exploding. We've also had a mild winter. Not that I know that that affects rats much. But the supposed solution is to release hundreds and hundreds of feral cats into the city of Chicago to be given care, to have caregivers who feed them so the rats can go on and eat. So the cats can go on and eat rats. Well, they don't discuss that the cats also are going to eat every songbird in sight. They're going to raid every single nest they can climb up in a tree on. And their impact is going to be absolutely horrific to the bird population in Chicago. The Chicago Audubon Society weighed in on this subject, and they said, you know, it's terrible that we seem to have rats in the city of Chicago, but it's even worse that we release feral cats into the city so that they can go and just become marauding agents of death, if you will. And that's what cats do. They don't kill for food. They kill for fun. And any of you who've watched a cat go and find a bird will notice that it often kills it and then plays with it, or plays with it and then kills it. Cats are one of the animals that do not just kill for the need to eat. They kill for the sport of it in their mind and for the fun of it. And so we in Chicago are really playing with fire by releasing lots of feral cats into the neighborhoods, thinking they're going to eat rats. I'm sure they will, and they'll eat mice. But they also will have a terrible impact on our bird population in Chicago. And moving from really the subject of feral cats in Chicago, the state of Illinois seems to have come up with an idea that if you believe in wildlife management and you believe in the future of bird life, the state of Illinois has a bill, House Bill 4671. It's called the Animal Welfare Act. And it is probably the most ill-conceived act one could imagine for the future of wildlife in the state of Illinois. And I'm mentioning it this morning. It was going to be my lead story until the subject of releasing cats in the city of Chicago to attack rats came up. This bill, House Bill 4671, is based upon a trap, neuter, and release program. Let me just take a snippet of this and give it to you for a second. The Illinois chapter of the Wildlife Society submitted a letter to the state's General Assembly opposing language in a bill that would enable and facilitate the release of feral cats back into the ecosystem. Can any of you imagine the lack of logic in saying we are going to release thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of cats across the state of Illinois so that we don't have to have them go to shelters or ultimately have to euthanize them? The whole reason for this program is that the cat lovers of the world, particularly in the state of Illinois, don't want to see cats euthanized. They don't want to see them go into shelters. There's no estimate of how many excess cats we have in the state of Illinois and across America, but there are estimates that they kill hundreds of millions of birds every year. So in the state of Illinois, a state where our pheasant populations have crashed, our quail populations have crashed, our songbird populations have crashed, our wetland bird populations have crashed, where we're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, trying to bring the piping plover back to the state of Illinois. And there was a big write-up last summer about the piping plover and how it exists in Illinois Beach State Park, and it's a wonderful thing. And just this week, for the first time in half a century or more, whooping cranes were sighted in the state of Illinois down at the Dixon Refuge in north of Hennepin. And in the midst of all of this concern over plunging bird populations and a rebirth of populations like the whooping crane, we potentially are going to pass an act, House Bill 4671, which makes it legal to trap, neuter, and release feral cats back in. They'll be sterilized, so it says it's, that they're obviously neutered. They're going to be sterilized. And then they're just going to be let out the door and go have a nice life. Well, that is going to destroy the wildlife populations of the state of Illinois. And it is thought out with no biological research, but the Humane Society and the cat lovers, and which, by the way, if you're a cat lover, I'm not trying to offend you this morning. I'm simply saying that cats don't belong in the wild. Cats belong in our houses. They don't belong in our yards. They don't belong climbing trees, eating birds. They belong in our houses. But unfortunately, over time, and I spoke about this a year ago, we have now released millions and millions of cats that have become feral into the wild in America, and they are the number one predator on the nesting birds, whether they be piping plovers, whether they be killdeer, whether they be robins, whether they be ducks, whether they be grouse, pheasants. Cats are the number one predator. And every single cat that's out there is the result of a cat that somebody did not take care of, kicked out the door, it became a feral cat, it had offspring, and the populations exploded. We have to take responsibility for this. Cat owners have to take responsibility for their pets. And the responsible thing to do is not pass a law that says we are going to trap feral cats, we're going to neuter feral cats, and then we're going to release them back into the wild after we've inoculated them and sterilized them. The responsible thing to do is to say, this animal did not belong in the wild to begin with. And either it goes to a shelter to be adopted by somebody who will take care of it in a way the cats are meant to be taken care of, or it has to be euthanized. Releasing cats into the wild is absolutely the wrong thing to do from not only a biological point of view, but from a societal point of view. And here we have the Illinois legislature furthering what would be just another example of why the legislature should not be involved in making laws that have to do with wildlife management in the state of Illinois. There isn't a biologist at the Department of Natural Resources, the people who actually know what's going on, who supports this bill. Not one. There's not a biologist at the Fish and Wildlife Service who supports more cats being in the wild. Every one of them supports fewer cats in the wild. I should say almost every one of them. This bill, if it passes, will be a detriment to the future of wildlife in Illinois and certainly a detriment to the future of hunting in Illinois. Hopefully it doesn't pass. So House Bill 4671 is a bad idea. And I'm sorry, Humane Society and all those of you who love cats, this is not a viable solution, trapping, neutering, and then releasing feral cats back into the wild. It's an insane solution if you want to have more birds, which we all do. So I'll be back in just a moment on the Great Outdoor Show, and I'm going to move from cats to the subject of actually the impact of Americans' economy from people who care about conservation and who want to see more birds and want to see more wildlife. Thanks for being with me this morning. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. First, a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Winter is here, and it's always tough on the road. But when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And nothing is tougher than the 2016 Chevy Silverado. Silverado is the longest-lasting, most dependable pickup on the road. With all-steel construction, Silverado is built to tame Chicago's winter weather. And Silverado's towing package offers 11,400 pounds of towing capacity. Perfect for hauling your snowmobiles. I love pulling my neighbors out of their snowdrifts. And right now, you can get $7,250 total savings on a 2016 Chevy Silverado All-Star. $7,250. That really warms my heart. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and get all the details. Or head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer today and pick up a pickup that works as hard as you do, on the road or off. Chevy Silverado is one tough customer.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host, and thank you for being with me this morning. And if you're just joining me and you're a cat lover, you're probably glad you missed the first segment of the show when I talked about the irresponsible nature of what's going on with the release of cats into the wild because we don't want to put them in shelters or we don't want to euthanize them. And I guess before I move on, and I will come back to this in a couple of weeks, as this is a subject that is really gaining traction across America, how do we manage predators? I would simply say, when a cat leaves your house and you throw it out the door and you say, I'm going to make that somebody else's problem now because I'm not taking care of that cat anymore, that is what has started this entire cycle. The cats largely that are in the wild today were put there by people who didn't want them anymore, and they made their lack of ability to take care of them a societal problem, which now has enormous consequences to the future of wildlife management in America. What I want to talk about next is the subject of the impact. A recent study came out as to the impact that hunting and fishing has on the economy. And this was an industry study done, so it's all of these studies have to take with a grain of salt, whether it's a study on the quality of a computer, a car, or the impact of hunting and fishing and wildlife, because the objective is to show how much impact there is. But the numbers are absolutely staggering. In 2011, $90 billion was spent by people who hunt and fish in America. According to the study, that combined total is more than the global sales of Apple's iPhone and the iPad in the same year. So in totality, $90 billion is the size of the hunting and fishing and outdoor recreation industry in America. People spent 835 million days afield and took more than 711 million trips. that averages out to 22 days in the woods or on the water. The point of my bringing this up is as we move into now the heart of the election cycle, and we eventually will end up with two candidates who are going to be president of the United States, the impact of hunting and fishing is not a casual American pastime. It is central to the future of wildlife management in America. And it's America's sportswomen and men and families that fund wildlife management by and large. Without the taxes on the sales of firearms, without the taxes on the sales of fishing equipment, without the licenses, without the duck stamps, without the permits, we would not have the kind of funding we have to fund wildlife and habitat management in America. The number of people who hunt and fish is estimated to be around 50 million. And that doesn't mean that 50 million people are out there every day hunting and fishing. What it means is there's 50 million Americans that casually are engaged in hunting and fishing and the shooting sports, some absolutely passionately. So if you look at the impact of people who spend time in the outdoors, it's a very large portion of the American economy in certain areas, and it's a relevant portion of the American economy across America. And yet we, in this election year of 2016, just hear nothing about it. And I mentioned last week, and I'll keep talking about it, it is shocking that the silence is deafening. 50 million Americans believe in hunting and fishing. That's adults. And people who hunt and fish overwhelmingly vote. So why is there no discussion on this subject? $38 billion was spent by hunters. As I mentioned, that's hunting alone. There were more revenues spent in the last 3 years on people buying, I'm going to get the exact number here, more money was spent on buying hunting and fishing equipment in America than was spent on buying bicycles across North America. We are a large part of the population, and yet there's just so little discussion. $61 billion was spent on the country's gross domestic product. That's a lot more than the contribution from the manufacturing of paper products, according to the study. So I think as we look ahead for the next few months, somehow, and maybe we can help on this show, but somehow we need to have a national discussion as to the future of outdoor recreation management in an era when funds are being diminished and we are providing an ever larger portion of the money that is needed to manage wildlife. So as I started off at the beginning of the show, I talked about the impact of predators, and I'm going to touch on that next week when I'm going to talk about raccoons and what's going on, or certainly in the coming weeks, what's going on in the nesting grounds of birds. And part of this whole thing comes back to wildlife management. We need an informed society. So we have big issues in the world of predator management. They're not easy, but they are issues that are going to have to be understood. And the role of people who hunt and fish in America and want wildlife management has a stake at the table, a seat at the table, and that needs to be recognized and realized. Thanks for being with me this morning. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I'll be back next Sunday morning with more on the great outdoors. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.